Vayadranadu paratam Namshyante tvam maharatha Yesham chatvam bahumato Bhutva yasyasi lagavam Vayadranadu paratam Namshyante tvam maharatha Yesham chatvam bahumato Bhutva yasyasi lagavam Vayadranadu paratam Namshyante tvam maharatha Yesham chatvam bahumato Bhutva yasyasi lagavam Payat out of fear, Ranat from the battlefield, Uparatam ceased, Mamshyante they will consider, from you, Maharataha the great generals, Yesham for whom? Cha also. Tvam you. Bahumataha in great estimation. Bhutva having been. Yasyasi you will go. Laghavam decreased in value. The generals who have highly esteemed your name and fame will think that you have left the battlefield out of fear only, and thus they will consider you insignificant. Lord Krishna continued to give his verdict to Arjuna. Do not think that the great generals like Duryodhana, Karna, and other contemporaries will think that you have left the battlefield out of compassion for your brothers and grandfather. They will think that you have left out of fear for your life, and thus their high estimation of your personality will go to hell. Text 36. Avachya vadamscha bahun Vadishyanti tavahita Nindantastava samarityam Tato duk hataram nukim Avachya vadamscha bahum Vadishyanti tavahita Nindantastava samarityam Tato dukhataram nukim Avachya vadamscha bahum Vadishyanti tavahita Nindantastava samarityam Tato dukhataram nukim Avachya vadamscha bahum Vadishyanti tavahita Nindantastava samartayam Tato dukhataram nukim. Avachya unkind Vadam, fabricated words. Cha, also. Bahun, many. Vadishyanti, will say. Tava Yo Ahita Enemies Nindantaha While vilifying Tava Yo Samarityam Ability Tataha Than that Dukhataram More painful Nu Of course Kim What is there? Your enemies will describe you in many unkind words and scorn your ability. What could be more painful for you? Let's repeat it. Your enemies will describe you in many unkind words and scorn your ability. What could be more painful for you? Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Krishna was astonished in the beginning at Arjuna's uncalled for plea for compassion, and he described his compassion as befitting the non-Aryans. Now in so many words, he has proved his statements against Arjuna's so-called compassion. In the purport to 35, Srila Prabhupada starts by speaking of the great generals. So in the first verse of Bhagavad Gita, we have already been given an idea of who the assembled devotees, the assembled great generals are on the battlefield. Can I get some names? Yeah, Bhishmadev. Who else? Yes, Dronacharya. The first verse. Bhishma Drona Tata Jayandrata Chala Gandhara Lilotala. So, yeah. Main generals Jaya Drata Chala, Karna, Drona, Bhishma. We get the idea. They were all Maharathas. You know, we have many ideas of Kung Fu and martial arts. And if some person is able to perform some, you know, some fancy stunts or fancy footwork and fighting, yeah, he's seen as some kind of superstar. But these were Maharathas. Maharatha meant, by no exaggerated terms, that one of them, one of the fighters, could fight with no less than 1,000 men at a time. Talk about one-on-one combat. Here's 1 to 1,000 or more. And these were titles that were given to Kshatriyas. Maharathas, Atiratha. These meant that they were solid Kshatriyas. You know, not just Kshatriya in name. They earned these titles. And they did it with great gusto. That was a Kshatriya mood that was prevailing. You know, it's like a Kshatriya is not just a Kshatriya who is someone in name, or I have been born into this caste of Kshatriya and now I will just sit with this title. No, Kshatriya, his worth is proven by his metal, by his fighting ability. So Arjuna was known as a Maharatha. This is his honorable title. And his highly esteemed name and fame. How do we know that Arjuna was highly esteemed? Besides these verses. I mean, these verses tell us that. But there are many stories about how Arjuna, his name, his fame, his prowess was shown in, you know, these titles were given to him. Yeah. Yeah. That's one of them. And there are also a lot of stories about how when jiva or living entities are doing really well, even the demigods come to test them. So Arjuna himself has been tested by many demigods. Srila Prabhupada speaks of a story about how Arjuna was tested by Lord Shiva. Arjuna went hunting one day and he shot a boar. And Lord Shiva, wanting to test Arjuna and his military prowess, his capabilities in fighting, came and disguised himself as a hunter. And in this disguise of a hunter, he claimed that he had shot the boar instead of Arjuna. So, as it is in Kshatriya code, to settle the matter, there was a fight. And Lord Shiva fought Arjuna. And Arjuna won, actually. And then Lord Shiva revealed his form. And he told Arjuna, I'm so pleased with your fighting ability, your Kshatriya mood, and your genuine fighting ability. And he actually gave him an astra. It's called a Pashupata astra. And Arjuna was such highly esteemed fighter that he earned such weapons from the demigods. He even fought with Indra. And Indra had given him some special astra also. But this is his highly elevated position. He's not just a rank and file military person. He's a top of the range fighter, renowned. And so for him to sort of have his honor and his title blasphemed or relegated to something insignificant is a pretty big step. When they say, okay, you're close to the bottom, how far can you fall? But if you're as high as Arjuna, it's a pretty big fall. So we were speaking a little bit about the Kshatriya mood and the code that they had amongst them. Bhagavad Gita, the 18th chapter, 1843, specifically speaks about some of the qualities of Kshatriyas. And they're listed as heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, which is the main focus of these verses. Right now, when Krishna is emphasizing, you have to be a courageous fighter in the battle. Kshatriyas, this is their quality. It's unbecoming to show compassion in a battle, on the battlefield. There are many places to show compassion, but Arjuna, the battlefield is not one of them. On a battlefield, a Kshatriya is meant to show courage. So resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity and leadership are the natural qualities of work for the Kshatriyas. A Kshatriya must have an Ishvara Bhav. This is said in As They Surrender Unto Me by Purichan Prabhu. A Kshatriya must have an Ishvara Bhav, the ability to control others, but he must use this power for the protection, not for the exploitation of their citizens. So, I mean, of course, with such great power comes the responsibility to use that power not whimsically and not exploitatively. It's like having that power is actually giving you the responsibility for protecting your citizens. So this kind of power, resourcefulness and heroism is what Krishna wants displayed on the battlefield. And he's telling Arjuna, if you do not display these qualities, do not think that these Maharathas are going to speak of you in a very favorable mood. You're a Kshatriya. This is who you are. To show compassion is a Vaishnava quality. But there's a time and place for that kind of emotion to be displayed. The battlefield where there are Maharathas assembled, they will not even think of you as being compassionate. They will think that you are a coward. That Arjuna is finished. Yeah. Arjuna has no more bravery, courage, heroism, determination, or power. He's an easy target, and he's finished. So Arjuna, such kind of blasphemy of your character, of your highly esteemed status, that what could be worse for you? Krishna says, better to die. You'd rather die, Arjuna. Because when you die on the battlefield, when a Kshatriya dies in battle, in combat, he's seen as glorious. He fought to the end. We have an example of one such Kshatriya, although it's a very painful story, but I like to quote Abhimanyu. He was only 16 years old. Yet he was known as a Maharatha. And he fought with the greatest generals, 5 or more of them at one time, while he was breaking in through the Chaturvyuha formation, although he did not have the knowledge to get back out. But he fought valiantly. And he is forever glorified for fighting so bravely against so many Maharathas. Although it was even an unfair combat that he engaged in, because won onto so many. There was even a vilification of the Kshatriya code. And only through that were they able to kill him. But still, Abhimanyu is glorious for the way he fought. And although he died in battle, he is super glorious. Because he died fighting. He didn't retreat. He wasn't showing any symptoms of cowardice. And uncompassionately fought against his enemies. So that is Kshatriya mood. It's something that, although a Kshatriya should have generosity and compassion, the time, place and circumstance is very important on where and how to show that. Krishna also speaks about how Arjuna will be neglecting his Swadharma, or his inherent duty. This minimizing of his importance, of his recognition. Arjuna doesn't really care so much about his esteemed name and fame at this point in time, because his compassion is overcoming him, and he doesn't mind. He wants to go to the forest and beg. He'd rather do that than to see his relatives dead. So right now his name and fame doesn't mean anything much to him. So Krishna is just reminding him of that you do have this name and fame. And I think it's very important to point out that Krishna is suggesting to Arjuna, you have this kind of name and fame, and this kind of stuff is the stuff that people go after. Whether it's cheap name and fame, or even sometimes, in our spiritual movement, some of us have some weeds that are growing along with our devotional kripa, and we still look for some kind of name and fame and kind of recognition. But in the third chapter, Krishna speaks about how these actions that the great men do, common men follow. So Arjuna is in that position where he is a great man. He has this esteemed name and fame, and he is a great personality. So naturally people will look to him, to follow him. Yadyad Achar. Yes. Whatever, it's 321. Whatever actions a great man performs, common men will follow. And these instructions that Krishna gives to Arjuna are meant to uplift humanity. So this position that Arjuna has is not something small. And he's not just doing it for himself. Krishna is saying to him and instructing him on behalf of humanity. So even though Arjuna might somehow sustain himself if he goes to the forest, Krishna explains to him, maybe you can. But what about the rest of the people who will follow you? They will imitate you without considering their own disqualification for becoming renunciants. Krishna even goes so far as to speak of himself in the next verse, 322. He speaks about how he doesn't have any work to do. 321. Krishna speaks about himself in 322, I think, where he says, there's no prescribed work for me. Okay. Yeah, 322, Krishna says, there is absolutely no prescribed work for me, yet I am also following this route of prescribed duties. This is my engagement I am also following, because this is the severity of it, that common men will follow these kind of actions. They will look up to you, Arjuna, as a great fighter. They will look to me. Even you have duties to perform. Even I, who do not have duties to perform, yet I am still engaged in performing these duties. How important then is it for you to fight, to perform your duty, to show, to lead by example as a Kshatriya, as an upholder of Kshatriya Dharma, Swadharma, your Dharma, Arjuna. Anyone who is reputed for his good activities, he lives forever. Prabhupada was giving a lecture in London on this, on three verses at once actually, and he was making this point quite strongly. Even Chanakya Pandit has a good verse about that, that one is immortalized by his good activities that he is known by. I was just thinking of some of the examples that we know even from materialistic society. There are some people who have done great activities and they're known by them. Even saints, Mother Teresa. These kind of good activities sort of immortalize people and their characters. So Arjuna shouldn't be deviated. Krishna is saying, don't be deviated, because you become impious. You think by being compassionate right now, that is the right thing to do. But actually, if you neglect your dharma, your swadharma, you will become impious by not performing your dharma. And will be leading many others who are looking to you in your position as a kshatriya, you will be leading them adharmically. You won't be sending out the right message, the right, the true, proper representation of kshatriya dharma. Rather you fight, Arjuna. Fight and die if you must. Because that is the proper dharma. Not this cowardly compassion at this moment in time. The kshatriya spirit was so, how do we say, so strong to such an extent that there was a story about a Jaswant Singh. He was a commander-in-chief of Aurangzeb. I don't know if you've heard of Aurangzeb. He was a ruler. A very notorious ruler, actually. But one of his commander-in-chiefs, Jaswant Singh, he was a pretty well-reputed Kshatriya. Someone closer to our time. And since he was a commander-in-chief, you know, military commander-in-chief is someone of great rank, and he usually fought very many battles very victoriously. But there was one that he was defeated in, and he was coming back home. But before he reached home, his wife had heard about this, the queen. Well, not queen, but you know, commander-in-chief's wife still had a very high status in that time. And so she heard about this, and she asked the butler at home to close the palace doors. And so he did this. And when Jaswant Singh had come, he sent a message to the queen, you know, why are the doors closed? I'm here. Jaswant Singh has come home. And then the queen replied to the butler, please send him the message. Who has come? Jaswant Singh? I don't know, it must be some imposter. The Jaswant Singh that I know is either victorious in battle or he dies right there on the battlefield. And the queen asked to send that back to the husband. Because basically that was the mood. That you're a Kshatriya and you're meant to be victorious. Kshatriya knows no defeat. Basically, that was the underlying mood when a Kshatriya spread. That Kshatriya knows no defeat. The only defeat he has is death. But even then he's seen as undefeated in death. Seen as glorified by death. And there is a Bengali proverb also that describes this kind of time, place and circumstance. Like compassion, we're not denying compassion. We're not saying that compassion should not be there. But this Bengali proverb that Prabhupada quotes is about a dancing girl. You know, there's a girl and her profession is dancing. So she dances very beautifully on stage. But one day she sees that there are many of her family members, relatives that have come, that are in the audience and that are watching. And then she sort of tries to take her gungat or her veil and tries to cover. Like at home, generally, in the presence of elders or family members, this gungat or head covering is done. But Prabhupada says, her dharma, her duty is to dance. How can she dance properly if she's now shy, if she's now, you know, trying to cover herself instead of concentrating on dancing properly? No, she must dance. That is her duty. She has to dance properly because she is the dancer. And just because in the presence of her family members that are now around there, she must not forget her duty and become shy. This is unbecoming. So just like that, Arjuna, on the battlefield, now that he's surrounded by all his family members, doesn't mean that he must now become compassionate. It's uncalled for in that point. He's a Kshatriya, his duty is to fight. He has to fight. And Krishna is convincing him and smashing his arguments one after the other, after the other, after the other. But Krishna is just not matter-of-factly telling him that. He's sort of drawing it out from Arjuna also in the sense that there is understanding. Because sometimes if you just tell someone, you know, something, blah, 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 the tendency in there is to reject it because of the mood or, you know, the manner in which it's being said. I mean, they say 90% of the stuff that you say is done through your body language even. 10% is only exactly the words that you say that someone receives. But this kind of, I mean, we're right here and we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita, you know, so we read the essence of the message that was sent there. But we know that by this point already, Arjuna has already surrendered to Krishna. He's his disciple. He's in a submissive mood and he's in an open and receptive mood to receive this kind of knowledge. So, while Krishna is instructing him in this kind of way, he is smashing the doubts one after the other. Da, da, da. So that Arjuna, okay, gradually he's getting the point. He is slowly getting there. That yes, okay, Kshatriyas, this is who we are, we're meant to fight. Actually, the point is that whether or not the fighting would make Arjuna happy or not is not the point. The fact is that Krishna wants this fight. And we're meant to actually please Krishna by whatever we do. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13 Atapumbir. This kind, it's like we live in a world of duality where there's always happiness and distress, loss and defeat as compared to victory, which is momentary. Everything is momentary, but there's always this kind of duality. So we're always going to move from one state to the other, where there's going to be happiness or distress, victory or defeat. So this kind of thing is just momentary. But the actual goal of all these, of going through all these stages of distress and happiness and victory or defeat, is Hari Toshanam, is to please Hari or Krishna. So by our actions, by Arjuna's fighting, he would actually please Krishna. So actually not just looking at, oh yes, I'm committing violence against my family members and, you know, what is the use of having a kingdom with all of them not present? and having it stained by the blood of my relatives, how can I enjoy such a thing? No, these are not the motivations one should have for acting. Your enemies will describe you many unkind words and scorn your ability. What could be more painful for you? So yeah, he has this ability. And if something is so painful, it will kill Arjuna anyway. The unkind words of his enemies will be more sharp than the arrows that might pierce Arjuna's body. Such will be the gravity of such blasphemy against a character like Arjuna. So yeah, we spoke about Arjuna's uncalled for plea for compassion and how it is unbefitting for a Kshatriya and befitting for the non-Aryans. Yeah, and how his opponents will not think that he's being compassionate, but rather they will think he's being a coward. And he's just leaving out of fear of his life. Instead of compassion, the last thing they will think of is compassion. And in the Kshatriya mood of speaking boisterously, they will say many unkind things and blaspheme and throw insults against Arjuna, and that's the last thing that he, a fighter of his reputation, needs. Okay, so we'll stop there. Do we have any questions? Comments? Kripacharya? Yeah. Very little. Are you looking for anything specific? A story or incident? There are personalities like you, Bhishma, Karna, Kripa, Ashvatthama, Vikarna, the son of Somadatta, called Bhurishrava, who are always victorious in battle. Duryodhana mentions the exceptional heroes in the battle, all of whom are ever victorious. Vikarna is the brother of Duryodhana, Ashvatthama, the son of Dronacharya, and Somadatti, or Bhurishvara, the son of king of the Balikas. Let's see. Karna is the half-brother of Arjuna and is born in Kunti before marriage with King Pandu. Kripacharya's twin sister married Dronacharya. So it says here, Kripacharya's twin sister married Dronacharya. But it doesn't say very much about him. No.
No, I read my brother. I remember that he was one of his teachers also. And from yesterday, he was in the second place, so he was a contemporary of Dronacharya.
Possibly. Twin sister. Brother-in-law's probably. Yeah. Anything else? Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah, right.